You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
The peak is not just one point in time. The peak can last a bit, and we don't want it to keep going up again. So we have extended the declaration of emergency to at least May 12th to support existing public health measures in place.
No, Matt, they're not going to pay you to fill up your car. That's not the way it...
I misunderstood.
It's not the way it works. Although, I guess technically...
How great would that be?
You know, it's almost that bad. This is a weird story if you didn't catch it yesterday. And it tells you a lot about where we are right now in our economic cycle. The price for U.S. oil dropped not to zero yesterday. That'd be pretty bad, right? Here, just take my oil. Just take it. No, worse than that. It went negative. Here, I'll give you $5. Take this barrel of oil. It actually got negative. How does that work? What does it mean? What does it mean to the U.S.? What does it mean to the economy in general? What does it mean to Canada? We're an oil-producing nation. Those are all very good questions for which we have no answer. So we decided to go to an expert. Moshe Lander is a senior lecturer of economics at Concordia Universities. Good morning. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
My pleasure.
Well, I know it's probably not good news when the price of a barrel of oil in the U.S. drops below zero. Has that ever happened before, to your recollection?
You know what? It actually did happen once, and it was a few years ago, but that was when there were pipelines that had broken, and so there was a massive supply disruption. But it was a temporary phenomenon, and it certainly wasn't indicative of the damage that's being done to the economy right now. So, no, this is really kind of an unprecedented sort of situation.
The only thing I could think of that compared and helped me get my mind around it was the fact that there were times when Ontario was generating so much electricity with wind turbines, and, you know, the wind blows when it blows, and we didn't have anywhere to store it. So in order for the system not to melt down, we were paying neighboring jurisdictions to take our electricity. We weren't selling to them. We were paying them. Please take it or the system's going to blow up. Is that kind of similar to what's happening with the oil industry in the U.S.?
That's exactly it. The way that it's working is that oil, for the most part, is traded on futures markets rather than spot markets. So what you're describing for electricity is kind of right now as we're producing it. What do we do with it? Nobody wants it. Here, just take it. Futures contracts are the idea that on May the 1st, I'm going to deliver to you a certain amount of oil to a particular location in Oklahoma. And you would basically say, that's great. I'll give you $50 for it. Like you were saying in your intro there, that it's now fallen to a point where you don't want the oil on May 1st. Well, what are you going to do with it? The world is shut down. And so the only way that I can get you to take delivery of that oil on May the 1st is if I pay you to take it, rather than you pay me to receive it. So it is kind of the same analogy as that electricity market, but it's just the idea that we're not talking right now. We're talking that even 10 days from now, you're saying, I can't see a use for it.
I guess I should rewatch Wall Street to understand pork futures, and then well, let's not go into a lesson about the futures market. I think
if you
understand it, you understand it. If you don't, you don't. But basically, it's trying to anticipate what things will cost at a certain point in time. And right now, no one expects that there's going to be a big demand for oil on May the 1st, as an example, because, you know, I filled up my wife's car with gas yesterday. It cost $30. It was only half a tank, but normally costs $100 to fill it. And you know what? That'll last me for another month at the rate we're going, because it's great that gasoline is cheap, but I don't need it. I'm not going anywhere. But why don't oil companies just stop pumping oil and hang on to what they have rather than pay someone else to take it off their hands?
So we won't do the Wall Street movie discussion, but what we can discuss is Bugs Bunny cartoons, right? So, you know, everybody's seen, like, in the cartoons where he drills for oil and then those gushers just start, like, spewing out into the air. It's not quite like that anymore, but the idea now is once you drill for oil, you're kind of locked in. That's a huge upfront cost to start drilling. So once you start drilling, you have to keep going. The only option is to basically put a cap over top of that well and walk away from it. But if you walk away from it, restarting it is so expensive that it's almost a non-starter. So the option now is either just keep pumping out this oil and just try and figure out a way to get rid of it, or walk away and lose those billions of dollars that you put into starting up the well in the first place. So it's kind of an option of, do you want the really bad option or the even worse option?
So what you're doing is trying to move that oil that's coming out of the ground along the line, the distribution line, to someone that actually has the storage capacity to keep it.
And that's it. The problem is that nobody has the storage capacity. Storage is now almost completely full, right? So you can imagine that over the past 3, 4, 5 months, as this has been spreading around the world, demand for oil has been dropping, starting in China and then moving to Korea and Italy and the rest of Europe and now into North America. So nobody needs it. So as all of this oil keeps coming out of the ground, Bugs Bunny style, you got to store it somewhere. And all of those storage facilities are now saying, we're even full. And it's not so easy to build brand new storage facilities in such a short amount of time. So they're actually just leaving it on tankers and just saying, don't arrive in port, please. Just keep floating around in the ocean there. And they're using that as storage facilities, and even that's starting to get to a point that even they're full.
And that costs money, too, which is why you have to pay someone to take it.
That's exactly it. Like, at some point, you do have to deliver that oil to its final destination. And the fact is that once it gets there, nobody wants it because nobody can see any use for it, where factories are all shut down. And the one that's really enjoying this right now is, like you said, it's consumers of gasoline products, which is a byproduct of oil, where we're seeing kind of not record lows, but we're seeing extremely low prices for gasoline because it's just reflecting that nobody really wants this stuff.
So our producer Matt's point, which on the surface seems really stupid, I can't wait till they pay me to fill up my car with gas, is actually in a way what's happening, right? But it's further back in the supply chain, because at some point they could say to me, Bill, gasoline is no longer, where are we at, like 70 cents a liter right now? We got to get rid of the gas because I've got gas coming. I got to fill up my tank, so I need to empty my tank. So please take it in your car. I'll give you $5 to take a tank load away. That only works if I have room in my gas tank, because right now it was so cheap, I'm already full. I don't have room in my tank, and I can't drive around to burn it off. So this is where we find ourselves. There's also a perfect storm, though, isn't there? You've got COVID-19 and the massive reduction in the demand for it. But you've also had this battle going on within OPEC, the Saudis and the Russians, about cutting back on oil production. They've had trouble coming up with an agreement on that, so they keep pumping out oil. Now, is that partly for the same reason that they don't want to shut down their wells because of the expense of that, or is there something more political going on there?
It's a little bit of both. So there's certainly an aspect that there's an economics angle here, which is, you know, if they're going to have to compete for a limited number of consumers of oil, then neither one of them wants to back down and lose out on it. The political aspect is that, you know, they just generally don't like each other. And the Saudis have always been what's called the swing producer. They let everybody decide how much oil they want to produce, and then they just fill in the gap to kind of balance the market. But they've been giving up market share for years to non-OPEC players like the U.S. and Canada and Russia. And they've been standing, taking it on the chin. And they said, you know what? This is the final straw. That's it. We're coming out swinging, and we're going to sell our oil and try and maybe drive some of those high-cost producers out of business. And so they've been trying to target the U.S. and Canada and Russia. Canada and the U.S. are kind of a little bit out of the political sphere a bit, but Russia's certainly not standing aside and accepting it. So they've been engaged in kind of a price war, the same way that we would understand gasoline stations in a price war, dropping prices to try and steal market share from each other.
Yeah, well, and that started before COVID-19. Now, good luck with that battle, because no one wants your oil anyway. So okay, here we are. Just before I let you go, what does this mean for Canada, where I think most Canadians know our oil is expensive to produce because of it's sitting on the surface, it has to be mined, and it's difficult to separate it and do all of those things. When U.S. oil futures dropped below zero, what does that mean for Canada's oil sector?
Nothing good. You know, you were talking about kind of the perfect storm, and this is the hurricane that's hitting Alberta right now. So they are, of course, the major producer in this country, and the oil that they produce is always sold at a discount to that U.S. price anyway, because it's so goopy and because it's so difficult to ship that it's always sold at a bit of a discount. So if the U.S. oil is being sold at a negative price, then Alberta oil is basically worthless. What you're going to see is that a lot of oil and gas companies are just going to start slashing investment and start canceling projects and saying, if this is what we're looking at on May the 1st, what are the prospects for the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? You know what? Forget it. We're just walking away entirely. So it's not only bad for the oil sector, but it's going to be bad for all of the jobs that are connected to the oil sector and that go further up the chain, those that provide like food services to the oil sector workers and transportation and anything that has a knock-on effect with that oil sector. They're having a really bad morning right now.
So enjoy the cheap gas. It comes at a hell of a cost. That's really the bottom line.
Yes. It's one person's gain is another person's loss in this case.
Yeah. Thanks for explaining this to us. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care.
Moshe Lander, Senior Lecturer Economics, Concordia University. They were paying you to take their oil in the U.S. yesterday.